Global efforts to both treat and prevent HIV/AIDS can succeed, but researchers, medical workers and governments need to learn lessons from the past and be mindful of how the world is changing. Those were some of the key messages coming from experts talking at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine on World AIDS Day 2010. Professor Geoffrey Garnett from London's Imperial College gave a summary of where we are right now with the AIDS epidemic. And I talked to him about the positive and negative developments that need to be addressed.
I think we've reached a stage in the epidemic where over the last 20-odd years, the epidemic's been growing to very high levels in some places, southern Africa. We've had localised outbreaks in particular key populations in other countries. We're now at a place where the epidemic has reached an endemic level. We're getting millions, 1.9 million people died last year, but those numbers have been reduced dramatically by the rollout of antiretroviral treatment, where 5.6 million people are on antiretroviral treatment by 2009. What that means, though, is that there's still a lot of people who are in need of treatment aren't getting treatment. So to me, we've done a fantastic job of expanding access to treatment and expanding services, but there's still a great deal to be done. In terms of prevention, we're at a position where we've seen great reductions in risk behaviour in a number of countries now, building on what happened in Uganda and Thailand. It's now happened in Zimbabwe, Malawi, Ethiopia, Rwanda, a number of countries where we've seen dramatic reductions in HIV incidence, but we don't really understand how those were achieved, what the details of the relationship between prevention programs and those reductions in risk were.
We also heard a bit from a number of the speakers today about the way in which changes could occur over the coming decades that would affect how HIV/AIDS is going to have to be dealt with. For example, you know, rural to urban population and this kind of thing. I mean, what for you are the key things that are going to affect and really come on the radar of how HIV/AIDS is tackled?
I mean, the rural to urban is an interesting one in that we did see higher prevalences in urban populations and higher risk. Also, in some of the places, for example, Zimbabwe, where we've been looking, we saw changes in risk behaviour were different in the urban population and the rural population. In the urban population, it seems to have been increasing condom use. In the rural population, it seems to have been reductions in numbers of sexual partners. So I think the urbanisation is going to create a great risk, an environment where risk behaviour can take place, but also creates opportunities in that people can have access to clinics, access to treatment, so we can see the improving in the health systems in those urban populations. I think population growth is something that's going to drive up the numbers in need of treatment. I also think that economic growth and development in countries, girls' education, those other development things can have an influence on our ability to tackle HIV. So we saw examples of where poverty wasn't particularly associated with HIV. And what's probably happened over time is that at first it was the wealthy within society that were at risk of HIV infection. The infections then spread to the poorer members of society, while the richer members of society have been able to change their behaviours and protect themselves from HIV. So that whole development education agenda, I think, is going to be very powerful in facilitating the HIV interventions that are acting more directly on the epidemic.
I want to dwell on economic growth as well, because one of the things that came out of the talks today was the sheer complexity of the epidemic and the number of different factors and new factors perhaps that are coming into the equation. When it comes to economic growth, it does have an interesting impact on things like the cost of treatment and the ability of countries to be able to care for their unwell people in their population. So, I mean, yeah, how would you say that's coming into the equation, and is it going to help us?
I think the economic growth will help, because it means there are more domestic resources. I think the the costs of treatments are interesting in that the drugs are just one part of those costs, and we've seen dramatic reductions in the cost of drugs. But we do have to think about efficiencies in terms of the delivery of those drugs, the workforce that's able to treat patients. And I think over the next 20 years, a really important development is going to be trying to simplify the treatment algorithms and make treatment easier in terms of toxicities, in terms of adherence, in terms of monitoring patients. And I think that will then allow a much wider access to the treatment, that going hand in hand with the development of the health systems and developments that allowing countries to afford what's required.
You also showed some interesting data to do with the stage of disease and how infectious somebody is at that stage and how that might impact on treatment. So tell us about that and how treatment and prevention kind of overlap in a way.
The arguments abound about the importance of treatment in prevention. There are some that believe if we can put people on treatment immediately, we can stop their infectiousness and stop the spread of the infection altogether. I think that's probably too difficult to capture people early on in their infection to actually find the people to put on treatment. But what we do see as well is that there's, after that primary viremia, there's a long period of latency when there's a low viral load and probably low infectiousness. And then there's a period with a higher viral load as people progress to AIDS and need for treatment. And I think that if we can get a better coverage of people who need treatment, we can reduce their risk of transmitting the infection onto other people. Recent data from a discordant couple study, Partners in Prevention, showed a 94% reduction in transmissibility from those who are on treatment compared to those who aren't on treatment in those discordant couples. So I think there's a lot can be done for prevention with treatment.
What about recent developments as well that we heard about briefly in the session, such as a trial on vaginal microbicide? Is that changing the game at all?
The trial on vaginal microbicide is interesting. I think the efficacy was in the region of 38 to 40%, which is not going to totally protect women from the infection. So those women that can't use condoms at high risk, I think it would be a very useful product. But there is concern about what happens to other prevention activities such as condom use. So I think the vaginal microbicides are probably a very useful tool because they allow women to take control of their risk. But at the same time, they're going to have to be used in combination with other prevention tools. The more you can combine things that reduce risk, the better in terms of moving from a situation where the virus spreads widely to one where it's contained. So we get synergies out of combining interventions. Likewise, I think the pre-exposure prophylaxis, which is taking antiretroviral drugs in those who are susceptible to prevent infection, is interesting, and that's shown high efficacy. But there, you've got to be concerned about breakthrough infections leading to resistance, so you would have to survey people to check they didn't have the breakthrough infections. The drugs are costly, and we need to treat the people who are sick as well as susceptible to prevent the infection. So there, I think the issue is how we best prioritise who it would be useful to give the pre-exposure prophylaxis to.
What kind of gains can be made then, according to the available data, if we do manage to roll out a comprehensive intervention of treatment and prevention?
It really depends on the place and how vigorous the spread of the virus is. If it's very vigorous, i.e. it's spreading widely, you need a lot to bring it under control. Less if it's not spreading that widely in a country. But from the efficacy data in trials, and that's trial data showing behaviour changes as well as impact on HIV incidence, we can see about a 50% reduction in new infections if we scale up prevention. That's taking us halfway there, but we do need these new tools to be added and also the community changes to take us further and actually bring the epidemic to very low levels where few infections are coming through, so treatment is easy to manage and maintain.
And in terms of numbers, if we compare the likely kind of curve of the number of people who are going to be infected or newly infected with and without treatment and prevention, I mean, literally, what kind of numbers can we gain there?
We did an analysis in South Africa, and we found that we could prevent, with our current technologies, 5.5 million people from being infected over the next 22 years. Globally, it's many, many more than that that we can prevent. So we can achieve a lot with the tools that we have.
Finally, looking into the future and looking long term, which has been the focus of the discussions today on World AIDS Day, what I want to ask is, are you optimistic about where we are? There was talk about, have we halted the disease or not? Perhaps that's not true, but still, I mean, it does seem like there are successes that we are drawing on here.
I'm naturally a pessimist, but it's interesting that my pessimism has been proved wrong in the past. So now I'm going to try and be an optimist. I think we have had big successes in preventing spread of infection, but there is great concern. Over the medium term, I think we're going to have a growing need of treatment and a growing financial burden that it's going to be very difficult to meet. The world so far has been improving, and I'm just sincerely hope that we can continue those improvements.
Professor Geoffrey Garnett of Imperial College, talking to me after his lecture at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine on World AIDS Day 2010. For Audio News, I'm Derek Thorne.